Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, we're heading for the weekend, and it's the Steve Jones Show, Friday afternoon edition, News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can also find us at stevejonesshow.com, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Steve Jones PSU. Of course, once we're done with the live shows, you can listen to our Steve Jones Show podcast. If you ever miss a live show, you can catch up. You can go to stevejonesshow.com, click podcast. Our podcast also available on both iTunes, the Apple Podcast app, and Google Play. So we encourage you to subscribe. If you listen to us on both iTunes or the Apple Podcast app, don't hesitate to leave us a review. Our Friday edition of the Steve Jones Show, always brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket, Reagan Street in Sunbury. You've got graduations going on across the area. A lot happening. Father's Day next weekend. So you need to make sure you're stocked up with what you need. All the beverages, brews, snacks, and, of course, the pickle bar, all at Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury, as Steve and a very special guest will be checking in just a few from the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Gift cards.
Yes.
Gift cards. I think that's the key right there, gift cards. Huh? From Brewers Outlet for Father's Day?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Oh, I thought you were dropping another type of message for my envelope for your darling daughter and her dapper groom. I've already sealed that envelope.
All you need to do is show up. All you need to do is show up.
Oh, you're kind. I appreciate that.
Seriously, it's all you need to do is show up.
T-minus 22 hours and counting. Can't wait.
Oh, yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. All right. it'll be a real blast.
I promise I will not do this. I will not do any Facebook Live of you walking your beautiful daughter down the aisle. I will not post that on the Steve Jones Show Facebook tomorrow.
I could care less about that.
So you're leaving the door open. Maybe we will.
She's beautiful. Just bypass the guy standing next to her. That'd be me. I have the tendency. There's a reason I'm on radio. I have a tendency to ruin every picture.
I'm right there with you. And I always say I have a face for radio since 1983.
So things were good until then, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then senior year of high school started.
He's not here yet. I don't know. Now both my my out-of-town sons are here. Christopher, of course, lives here. Right now he's going to Lock Haven.
I spoke with your brother a little over an hour ago. He was having trouble navigating off of I-99 near the Cracker Barrel. Yes, sir. There's been some construction over there the past couple of months, and I...
Why is he over there?
I was wondering that myself.
So. I don't live over there.
I know you don't. I know there's a cluster of hotels over there, so I just assume that's where he's staying.
You know what? Maybe he is staying there.
Because I know there's an HI over there, and I just assumed he was over there.
Yeah, they've got three of them. They've got a Spring Hill, a Holiday Inn Express, and a Hampton Suites or something like that.
Yeah, right there, stone throw away from the Olive Garden.
Yeah.
I figured they were staying there.
That's why he's doing that.
So. All
right. So, yeah. So that's what we have. And we're looking forward to it. It'll be a lot of fun tomorrow. So
shall be an awesome, memorable day.
Right. Yeah, it should be. No, I believe. You know, look, we're looking forward to it. Everything's been fine. And I walked in the door just now. And as far as I'm concerned, the mini superstar, Ryan Jones was here. It's my youngest grandson. So, oh, he's here. He's here. All right.
He doesn't like
the whole town's under construction. Believe me. So he's already in a good mood.
All right.
He's already in a good mood. Dick, we're gonna have Bob Kershaval on the show today, CBS Sports. To talk about Bob Stoops, that's today, correct?
Yes, we'll have Ben on at 3:35. Yes,
Ben Kershaval at 3:35. Dick Girardi on the Belmont Stakes at 4:06, and then we'll go from there. So we're looking forward to that very much. So, but he's settling in.
Nice.
So as he settles in, we'll take a break.
Okay.
Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
True refreshment can come in many forms. But it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place. The Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.
Welcome back. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Think about gift cards, by the way, when it comes to Father's Day coming up at Brewers Outlet. Also along the way, they have water, wine cooler, soft drink snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The Pickle Bar is undoubtedly second to none. And of course, the dills and the barrels are outstanding. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And ladies and gentlemen, back in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sean, the Prince of Peace himself.
What do I talk into?
Yeah, you talk into that, yeah.
This thing?
No. This one.
Oh, hi.
Yeah. There he is.
So far, so good, Sean.
All right. We got an hour and 40 to go.
Wow. Man, we've got interviews with other people.
We're lucky we even made it. Hey. Oh, my God. The whole town's under construction.
Yeah.
And if you don't know where you're going, it gets worse. We couldn't get out of our hotel. We couldn't find it because of the construction. Then we found it. Then we couldn't get out of it. And all we did was go across the street to Cracker Barrel. Then we couldn't get out of Cracker Barrel because of the construction. So we were stuck in a long line of traffic. But we made it.
Just remember, this town is an intense rush minute.
Yeah. It was intense and it was a rush. I picked the wrong day to quit chewing tobacco.
Oh, Sean, I'm sure you have many questions. You're going to be sitting at the same table with him, so.
I left my poor wife upstairs. She doesn't know anyone. I just ran down
by
here.
By the end of the show, she'll know everybody.
Oh, she will. No.
By the end of the show, she'll know everybody.
She's very nice. So.
Oh, no. And believe me, the people up there are not as evil as they're made out to be.
They're very nice. Everyone's nice.
So, big day tomorrow. I picked up the tux already. So it's all set.
You wear a tux?
I have to. I'm the
tails.
I'm the father of the bride. No tails. No. But that's what they ordered. I didn't. Yeah. I don't order whatever.
The classic is it? Classic black and white.
It's just black.
Black tie.
Yeah. I mean, the
black shirt.
Actually, maroon. White shirt.
Oh, that's cool. Nice. Maroon tux. Wow.
Maroon tie, black tux, white shirt.
Wow.
Very nice.
But you go with what they tell you. I mean, you don't sit there and go, you know, I'd like to wear tails one.
What are you wearing, Sean?
I will have my traditional black suit.
All right.
And I will be choosing a tie for my Beatles tie collection.
All right. Now yes. That's cool.
Yes.
I was going to bring my zipper tie, but that didn't fly too good. So.
Yeah, yeah, I wonder why that didn't
You ever
fly.
See a zipper tie?
Mm-hmm. No.
Walmart sells them. It's a zipper, and the thing is right up to your... So that didn't fly.
Well, I remember one time my uncle got married, and my cousin Don, who was a free spirit. How about that? That's a good phrase, right? Wore a tuxedo T-shirt.
Oh, I remember that.
And my father got so mad. Yeah. Oh, my father absolutely was furious.
Yeah, you don't want to make my father mad.
No, no. Once you hit that, you are gone. you might as well not make.
One time he was mad at me, and I fell. And blew my knee out, and he just looked at me and walked away. I was like, wow, love you, man.
Right, couple pumps of the chest. Love you.
One time me and my father came out to a game, and Steve's on the air, and he goes, I think the two of them have embraced in the end zone and a loving hug.
No, we had our...
He was a good man.
Yep. Well, we got a lot going on. We've got Golden State playing tonight against Cleveland. Chance to sweep and go 16-0. We got the Penguins who won big last night, 6-0. Game 6 is coming up on Monday night. But as you know, people listen to the show, and Sean, you know, and I've said this for a long time, every game takes on its own personality. I don't think there's any carryover between any of from game to game. I mean, I just don't think there is.
Without a doubt, last night was a complete game. You could tell that extra day off was huge for the Pens.
Crosby was great.
Crosby was amazing. The defense looked fresher. I mean, you had six different guys scoring. I would have thought if Pekka Rinne would have got the hook, I would have thought it may have been at 4-0 and not 3. But I guess Peter Laviolette said, well, you know, we'll just rest him the last two periods and you know, make sure he's good to go for Sunday night.
He ran the white flag up early last night.
How does Nashville fall apart like that? I don't understand the home ice advantage that much. That they were just playing. They were tremendous in Nashville and then get shut out 6-0.
Comfort zone. I think you get into a comfort zone. I also think that in each game, Pekka Rinne went out and played really well in the opening period of each game.
Crosby's tremendous.
I mean, Pekka Rinne reminds me of the great Major League Baseball pitcher, that if you don't get him early, you may not get him.
Yeah.
If you get Rinne early, you'll get him. Well, the Penguins have won all three games because they got him early.
Yeah.
Right? The two they lost, they never got him. Nashville's crowd's wild. I mean, they really are, to their credit. I think what's interesting about them is that it's sustained. Although I've laughed about some of the Penguin fans. Well, you know, they're not really as loud as some other places. It's just the first time through for them. That's why they're so excited. And I look at them and say, you know, you almost lost your team to Kansas City. Don't, like, start shoving it in somebody else's face.
Really?
10 years ago, the Penguins were... The Kansas City thing was a lot realer than people...
I didn't know that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So don't get all cocky about your franchise. Okay, we're almost rooting for the Kansas City Penguins here.
You know, as a fan that doesn't have a team in our state, we used to...
I've got to do a basketball game in the Carolina Hurricanes Arena in November.
We lost the Hartford Whalers, but the point I'm going to make is... It's good for hockey that Nashville is playing Pittsburgh. It's good that getting, you know, Keith Urban and his wife involved and Carrie Underwood and all the country singers. It makes it fun. It brings hockey back to life again.
No, they've got star power in them.
Yeah.
You got Keith Urban and Nicole Kidman dancing in the aisles. Yeah. You're thinking, this is all right. This is a good deal.
That's cool. Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't happen. You know,
it makes the general fan want to watch.
Right. It doesn't happen at a Dallas Stars game.
Yeah. No, it makes the general fan want to watch because it's kind of fun. You know, who's going to sing the national anthem? That's a... You know, Claire come down and watch, and she hates hockey. We were watching last night. They started fighting. She says, "Oh my God, that's illegal! You can't hit a man like that." I said, "Yeah, they do."
Oh, how about Crosby? Crosby gets on top of Subban and starts bump, bump, bump into the ice with his head. And Mike Milbury was great last night. He goes, "That good for him."
Yeah. Did you see Mike Milbury with Carrie Underwood?
Oh, I did.
He was giggling like a little girl afterwards. He was so excited that I met Carrie Underwood.
Then they brought Charles Barkley on.
Yeah, that was good.
And Barkley was a riot. He goes, "This has been a lot more exciting than the NBA." Well, don't you work for the NBA? He said, yeah, I got a lifetime contract.
Yeah, he said, "They can't fire me."
I mean, that's beautiful. It's like Sean says the same thing in the station all the time. "They can't fire me." Hey, by the way, Sean, this is a big night tonight.
Sean?
I think we lost Sean.
Oh, I'm right here. Sorry.
You're eating a pickle, aren't you?
No.
Doggone pickle bar showed up. Yeah, Corey from Brewers Outlet showed up in the pickle bar. This is a big night tonight, Sean.
Got a huge night tonight.
This is the night that Suit Light graduates from high school.
That's right.
Yeah.
Suit's in high school?
No. Suit Light is his son.
Oh.
There's a Suit and there's Suit Light.
Oh, okay. Like Miller or Miller Light?
Yeah. I wasn't sure if Kevin, a.k.a. the Suit, was going to treat this day at Sunbury Broadcasting like a senior cut day and not be with us today, but he is here, so I was able to...
Well, you want to know why?
Why is that?
Because he's got to pay for Albright coming up. That's what you're not. You're going to find out when they're in college. You're not taking many days off in life.
No, but I had a commencement card to give to Suit Light, so I had to make sure Kevin got that as I got here this morning. So I was concerned that he wasn't going to be here today. So.
I mailed one.
Great,
I did. I mailed one. They should get it today, I would think.
Yeah,
yeah. But I did. So the question is. Did you ask him the question, is it a bigger day for the Suit or for Suit Light?
Well, I think you and I know the answer to that. I mean, I didn't really... I should have asked the Suit that personally, but I did not. Because you and I will know what he'll say. We know what he'll say.
Well, he's the guy that said on senior night, it's much bigger for the parents. Okay, so
because you didn't think your boy would make it.
It's like I thought he was joking at first, so I played along with the joke. So I'm playing along with the joke, and then I realized he was dead serious. That was when you and I got the medical professional on the line seeking help. All right. Next half hour, college football. We'll talk about the Big 12. Bob Stoops stepping down as the head football coach at Oklahoma. The Kershaval is going to join us. Dick Girardi from the Belmont Stakes at 4:06. As well. He likes Irish war cry tomorrow. Post time 5:37. Thanks, by the way, to Lafitte Pinkai, who joined us on the show earlier in the week. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, and the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, and Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motor Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I've got a great text from my sister-in-law, Jill O'Donnell, who said her and Mike are listening to the show today. Great, as they drive along I-80. All right, let's bring in Ben Kirschival from CBS Sports, who always does a great job. Welcome. It's great to have you with us.
It's great to be on. Thank you.
All right, let's talk about Bob Stoops, first of all. Coaches don't normally change in June. You and I know that. We've seen Thad Matta out in basketball at Ohio State and then Chris Holtmann being hired today. And then Bob Stoops. They claim this was in the works for a while. What is your opinion on how it went down at Oklahoma?
That's probably right. You know, Lincoln Riley signed a new deal with them in May. It was a three-year extension, $1.3 million annually. Probably, if he really wanted to become a head coach, he probably could have. It probably could have happened this last year. He interviewed with South Carolina. If he really wanted to go and be a CEO somewhere, he could have. So, to me, the fact that he goes and takes over, and Oklahoma is a premier college football job. If Oklahoma really wanted to go out and have an interview process, they could have, and they could have talked to a lot of big names. I mean, they could have talked to Chip Kelly. I mean, they could have talked to just about anybody they wanted to. And they decided to hire Lincoln Riley, and which means that tells me that Bob Stoops really trusts Lincoln Riley, and he does. And so is the timing interesting? Yeah. I think this probably had something to do with the news actually breaking in Oklahoma going, all right, you know, we've got to kind of wrap this, put a bow on this and wrap it up and get done with it. I don't know exactly when they were planning on doing it. But as far as passing the baton off from Stoops to Lincoln Riley, if they really felt like he's going to be the guy to succeed Stoops, and I'm not saying one way or another whether they should have gone through an interview process, whether this is, you know, a good decision or a bad decision, but if they really felt like this was what they wanted to do and hang the baton off, exactly when they do it probably matters a little bit less. If you know, Lincoln Riley's a good recruiter. He understands the culture. He's been in there a couple of years now. As far as a seamless transition, this seems about as seamless as it can be. So whether it happens in June, whether it happens in December, I'm not saying there's not a difference, but I think passing that baton off to them, the timing, while interesting, maybe not as big of a deal as made out.
Yeah, I mean, but normally you do it in January, let him recruit, or do it before spring practice, and then you know, do right. What you want to do on both sides of the ball in spring practice. That's why I just found the timing in June to be so interesting.
It's not, I wouldn't say it's ideal. I don't think there's anything about this that you go, yeah, this is exactly how you should have done it. No, I just believe if Lincoln Riley is really their guy, and all signs point to clearly they had enough confidence in him from the start that they didn't even felt like they had to go through a search, then the fact that you did it in June, you think to yourself, long term, this guy is our solution to succeed Stoops. The difference in 6 months, while maybe not the best, probably isn't the worst thing in the big picture.
Now, Bob Stoops has money. He has the freedom to do whatever. But Ben, did the Joe Mixon situation in some ways wear on him a little bit as being the CEO of a program, and maybe to a much lesser extent like what Baker Mayfield was going through?
I would say I wouldn't blame it on the Joe Mixon situation, but I would say the Joe Mixon situation is a microcosm for it. Now, I haven't talked to Bob much over the past few years, only a handful of times, never in very great depth. But so I never really got the personal impression that he was done. Word is that people who actually talk to him more frequently is, yeah, he was really worn on the whole situation. And because I think this was so surprising, we never really saw the writing on the walls. But, you know, if you go back to last December and Bob Stoops talking about the Joe Mixon situation, the way that he felt like he really should have handled it differently, you know, I think that's one of those lessons where you look back and you go, you know, there was probably something there that we missed. And yeah, as for as great as Mayfield is, he's a little bit of a handful, and so there is a little bit of that aspect to it. And you know, and I'm not saying he's done with coaching. Now, you know, he might say, look, I'm ready to go live my life at 56. Okay, that's fine. Maybe give it a couple years before you put that rubber stamp on it. He's been at Oklahoma 18 years. It's the only head coaching job he's ever had. You know what? In today's coaching world, 6 to 9 years is a really nice tenure. A lot of people say, like, 6 to 9 years, that's really how much you're going to get out of a situation before you get fired, before you should move on, before things get a little bit stagnant and stale. He doubled that. You know, and he went 18 years. And you know what? He managed to reinvent himself a handful of times along the way, and he did a really good job in the process. I think over the last couple years, he definitely felt like, you know, it's just not doesn't get the same vibe for him anymore.
Yeah, I can understand. I can understand that, because you do get to a level where if you have one stumble, suddenly the world, you know, everybody around you feels like they're crashing to the ground. That's, you know, that's a tough spot to be in. But the Big 12 is in an interesting spot. Bill Snyder is 77 years old. Tom Herman and Lincoln Riley will coach in the Cotton Bowl against one another, combined ages of 75.
Yeah.
Youth is being served in the conference. Is this something that can give this conference a jump, because now they're going to younger coaches, Matt Rhule now down at Baylor and so forth?
Well, by the way, you know that Snyder and Stoops are on that same Hayden Fry staff back in Iowa.
That's right.
That was the staff that had Snyder, Barry Alvarez, Bob Stoops, Dan McCartney. I mean, that had like 4 or 5 college head coaches on that staff, and it was just incredible. And Snyder's the one that's still coaching, you know, out of all of them, right? The guy's ageless. But to your point, and this is what I wrote about at CBSSports.com, was, okay, well, what's the look ahead here? What's the future look like? And you have Riley, who's a first-time head coach, but, you know, at 33, and people will point out he's the youngest active FBS coach now. You know, he's been an assistant already for 15 years. I mean, he was an assistant the moment he stopped playing at Texas Tech. And Tom Herman, obviously upward trajectory from his time as an assistant at Ohio State to Houston to now, you know, he beat Bob Stoops when he was at Houston, and so takes over at Texas. And so now you look at and you say, all right, the future of the Big 12, the two bell cow programs, because these are programs that are going to win you your national titles if you're going to get any. It's not going to be Gary Patterson at TCU. God bless him. He's a top 10 coach. He's just – you got to recruit at a high level to do it. And TCU, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, they just don't do it. So Texas and Oklahoma are going to be your best options, because they've always been your best options. And you have two guys who their best years as a coach are ahead of them. And, you know, Lincoln Riley, obviously a great offensive mind. Tom Herman, the same thing. They can recruit. There's a chance being taken on both of them in their own right. At the same time, though, you have to think, because those are destination college jobs, you have the potential for that Red River rivalry game to really get back on that national stage. And that just hasn't been there over the last few years.
Right, exactly. It's a really good point. Financially, the Big Ten TV contracts now kick in probably starting next month, fiscal year, whenever. SEC, what they've done in terms of financial stability. Because of the finances, do you see a separation between the SEC, the Big Ten, and then the other three? Maybe the Pac-12 is ahead, but does that create a problem in Power 5 football because of the finances?
I think the Pac-12 actually might be a little bit behind. Big 12 just released their numbers, and I think they're in the neighborhood, without their third-tier rights, I think they're in the neighborhood of $33 to $35 million per team, except for Baylor. They have to go through an audit because of their scandal, right? But, you know, semantics. But is there a separation? Hell yeah, there's a separation. that's the marketplace. Now, what's interesting to me, and I don't pretend to be one of those, you know, media rights gurus, I think right now this is the arms race that we are experiencing in college football. But the thing that I kind of look forward to is you know, where are we at with cable and cord cutting and streaming? Because I think that's kind of the next step. You know, what do media rights packages look like 10 years down the road, 15 years down the road. Because right now, streaming is in a little bit of a transition phase where you don't get everything that you want, but it's kind of getting there. So as far as the media rights deals, well, yeah, the Big Ten and the SEC are miles ahead because they have the two biggest demands for their products, and they also happen to have Delaney is a huge commissioner. I mean, he has a lot of influence. He's one of the most powerful people in the sport. And then, you know, you used to have, you know, Mike Slive, but it's still a very powerful conference and probably has the deepest rooted following and interest in it. No one else has a conference interest quite like the SEC. So are they ahead? Yeah. To me, I don't think it's an issue. I just think that's your market demand. And I'm totally open market demand. I'm just for that in general. So it's never been an issue for me.
What has the college football playoff done for the interest in the game, in your opinion, as someone who's covered it as long as you have?
It makes it interesting at Wednesday at 10 a.m. You know? You have the – and I say that from kind of a selfish, self-centered perspective. I'll do radio drops like yours at 10 a.m. on a Wednesday in mid-October, and you know what you're asking me about? The playoff race. Not necessarily the Heisman. And this is in the middle of the NFL season. The NBA's getting ready to get started. It's their prime isn't until right about now with the finals. But college football the whole argument was it going to diminish the regular season? Well, it depends on what you mean by that. To me, it's actually enhanced the interest in the regular season because now there's four spots up for grabs. It's a constant talking point because instead of a computer formula that's just going to crunch out numbers, you have the selection committee, which, God, they're a moving goalpost. And while you might disagree personally with, you might disagree personally with their decisions, like I thought Penn State should have been in last year. But it's a debate, right? It's a point of conversation. So the 14 playoff, you know, everyone asks me, should we extend to 8? I'm fine with 4, but I also understand that it increases the drama of the regular season. And if it increases the drama and the attention for the sport, I think it's good for the sport.
You brought up Penn State in that answer. What do you think of the rebuild job that James Franklin and his staff have done here?
Obviously, tremendous. It's not the be all end all, but man, you would have liked to hang on to a couple of those recruits that just dropped out. And because when you win the Big Ten and you go to the Rose Bowl, that's your opportunity. When you have to coach against Jim Harbaugh, Urban Meyer, and I would even throw Mark D'Antonio into that conversation. When you're in the same division as them and you have to go up against them every single year, you have to take those years where you do win. And you got to capitalize on that on the recruiting trail. Now they're still very highly ranked, and you on 24/7 Sports recruiting rankings. You still have a long way to go before the 2018 class. A lot can change, for better or for worse. To me, this is that time where, because Franklin's been there 3 years. Was this the end of his third year? I think.
Right. He'll be going into his fourth season.
So what they always say is, within 3 to 4 years, you're going to find out pretty much what a new coach is going to do. And typically that third year is when you see that jump. And this is that's what you saw this year with Franklin. So things trending in the right direction. What matters now as you go into your fourth year is, can you capitalize on that from a recruiting standpoint so that you've just elevated the bar that you've set for yourself, you've elevated to a point where you can actually, you can reach it.
Ben, an absolute pleasure. It's great to have you on, and hopefully we can get you on one of those 10 a.m. hits on a Wednesday in the fall.
Hey, man, when it's 9 a.m. on Wednesday, give me a call. Do it.
We're in. Ben, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Take care.
Ben Kirschival, CBSSports.com, joining us on the show. Dick Girardi next half hour on the Belmont Stakes. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
For the month of June, the word is out about Sunbury Motors Kia, and the word is no.
We want to see you in Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
Yes, that's right.
No.
As in no interest, 0% financing for up to 66 months. And no payments till November on all 2017 Fortes, Souls, Optimas, and Serenos.
And SMC has them clearly sale priced on the window.
2017 Souls starting at $15,328. Fortes starting at $15,947. Optimas starting at $19,997. And 2017 Serenos starting at $23,894. And with Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty, you'll see why Sunbury Motors Kia is into no in a big way. No hassles, no pressure, no problem. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Golden Strip at Hummel's Wharf or at sunburymotorskia.com. And say yes before someone else gets your Kia.
Tax and tags extra. 0% financing to all qualified customers to KMF. Restrictions apply. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
Who can say no to that?
Ben Kirschel, CBS Sports, joining us in the previous segment. Great insight on college football. Next half hour, the Belmont Stakes with Dick Girardi. Today is the 44th anniversary of Secretariat winning the Triple Crown. And so big doings across the board. Penguins won last night 6-0. Crosby, you know, yesterday I talked about stars need to be stars. Crosby was great last night. Malkin played great last night.
I was surprised they left Crosby in at the end of the game. Would have got chippy.
Yeah.
I'd have pulled him out of there because they'd have taken a cheap shot at him.
But you know what? A star needs to handle themselves.
I remember
early in his career, Bobby Orr.
Oh,
okay? Right? Bobby Orr, the Rangers went after him.
Yeah.
In a game early in his career, Brad Park was a great player in his own right, and Orr picked up Park and beat the daylights out of him.
Yeah.
Right, and guess what? The last time they went after him because they said Duke can handle himself.
Yeah,
right.
Kevin Dineen was like that.
Yeah,
quiet but could fight on skates. He knocked Terry O'Reilly out with one shot.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, O'Reilly was going to rough him up, and Dineen popped him once, and that was it. No one ever came near Kevin Dineen again.
Okay. We're done with number 11.
Yeah.
11's good. We like him. We like
out
11.
Cold. Down goes O'Reilly.
Down he goes. Yeah, this is just part of the conversation, Sean, that you'll get tomorrow.
I can't wait. Looking forward to it very much.
Yeah, yeah.
What kind of pickles have we got?
Well, actually, I'm sort of in charge of the meals on this one. But, Sean, you're going to bring pickles from Corey, right?
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Just made a visit to the pickle bar a couple of hours ago.
Oh, see, he's stocked up already.
Two containers of barrels, one for both of us.
Well done.
Oh, yes.
Barrels are great.
Yes.
Barrels are great.
We will keep them chilled in the cooler in the back of my car throughout the day, because it is going to be a long afternoon, and we want to make sure the pickles stay fresh for you.
Well, we'll eat them on the way home. Huh, honey?
Yeah. She's all excited.
She's got to stop and pee again.
Yeah. Our play-by-play call of the day is going to be the next half hour, but we're going to have a second one as well. I've got that one, okay? All right, Sean. Just want to make sure you're prepared for it. You'll like it.
What's that?
I have a second play-by-play call of the day.
Oh, okay.
To go with the one you already have. The one you have is great.
Excellent.
But then I have a second one, which you'll like very much. All right? So we'll do that. Coming up in the next half hour, and then we'll throw things about. Golden State will take on Cleveland tonight. I talked about this yesterday. They talk about the era of the super team, and really the era of the super team started with, you know, LeBron James, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade all saying, hey, look, we're all going to go to, you know, Wade's going to stay in Miami, Bosh is going to be a sign and trade, he's going to go there, and then LeBron's going to sign as a free agent. But what bothers me is when I look at Golden State, because your management is smarter than everybody else's management. Steph Curry, they signed him from a multi-million. Oh, no, they drafted him. Klay Thompson, they signed him as a free. Oh, no, they drafted him too. Draymond Green, they said multi-million dollar free agent. Oh, no, they drafted him too in the second round. So they outdraft people, put a core team together, win the championship in 15, made a nice deal to get Iguodala in there, which really helped. And then last year, they go seven games, they lose. And what they do is that they swap out Harrison Barnes, essentially, for Kevin Durant.
Which team didn't take Durant in the draft and took the kid from Ohio State? Durant was number two pick. He was number one.
Yeah, Portland.
Portland?
Yeah, Greg Oden.
Oh, my.
But you know what? But Oden's problem was injuries because...
He's a good man. There's nothing wrong with Oden.
I mean, Oden was a prototypical back-to-the-basket center who did nothing outside of 10 feet. And it was always...
He got hurt.
He hurt his knee, and he needed a microfracture surgery, which sets you back tremendously. But Oden played two games against Penn State, and I remember watching him warm up. Specifically watching him warm up in Columbus, because we're courtside there. He did not do a single thing in warm-up that he would not do in a game. You know, some guys go out and they're like, hey, they'll take 15, 20, 25-foot jump shots, right, even though we're back to the basket guy. Every single thing Oden did was with, this is what I do in the game, this is what I need to work on. And that impressed me.
Do you think if he hadn't got hurt, he'd have had the career Durant's had?
No, Durant's a better all-around player. Right. Oden would have been, if he had stayed healthy, would have been a very effective player. Just like, for example, Mike Conley, his teammate at Ohio State, has turned out to have a really, not a Hall of Fame, but a really good career. Oden would have had a very good career.
He'd still be playing.
Right, he would have had a very good career. Yeah. All right, Dick Girardi, next half hour, the Belmont Stakes, the 149th running of the Belmont Stakes, coming up tomorrow at Belmont Park in beautiful Elmont, New York.
Got my hand caught in these.
We'll come back with the second hour of the broadcast extravaganza, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
We are your home for the Philadelphia Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.